Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to our Monday evening edition of Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health. I am your host, one of your hosts, Robin McKean, and I am here with my regular co-host this evening, Lisa, or Lee, as we call her. And tonight we're actually going to be speaking about some things that have been going on in Lee's personal life, actually. I know that sounds odd because most people don't do this sort of thing. But, you know, here we are, a show built around health and wellness, and she's had this major leap toward a better Lee.
Wellness.
And, yeah.
And I should clarify, Robin, we talk about our personal lives all the time.
Well, this is true, but not something this grand.
No,
not something quite this grand.
This is true.
And so we're here tonight to talk about it, maybe answer some questions from our callers. Lisa, what's the number if people want to call in and talk to us?
Oh, my goodness. The number here is 646-564-9714. And if you have a question after the intro, just hit the number 1, and we will know that you're in the list waiting to call. And as I said earlier, if you're shy but you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, please feel free to post them in the chat room. I'm actively watching the chat room as we speak.
Awesome. So, for anybody who hasn't been listening to the show, Lisa had knee replacement surgery Wednesday.
Yep, 5 days.
This past week. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I honestly didn't think she'd be here tonight. I figured they were going to have her so drugged up, she wasn't going to know anything about, you know, being able to call me on the phone. So I'm thrilled that she's here. I'm thrilled that it went so well. And Lee, why don't you walk everybody through your process?
Well, my process was crazy because I'm a little crazy. Anybody who listens to the show or knows me from, you know, I can be just a little bit on the crazy side. And I feel that I'm doing as well as I'm doing because of what I did prior to my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I asked questions of people. I asked questions of the care facility, the hospital where I'm at. They offer a joint replacement class that is not mandatory, but I said, you know what, I've never done this before. Let's find out how much is, you know, how it worked for Joe and how much of it is how it's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the class, and they were so forthcoming with information. And I have to say that Diane, who ran my class, happens to be the nurse on the floor tonight, and I stopped her when she was coming around to, you know, just check her vitals and all that, and I told her that her class took so much stress away from me, and I believe I even said that to you after taking the class and hearing all the things that were being offered at the hospital, what the plan was, how it was supposed to work. I had so much less stress, so I did my homework. You know, I have to be honest that the only thing that I did not do that might have helped me a little, but it turned out I'm doing really well with that, is I didn't stop smoking before. I decided I was going to smoke right up until midnight of the night before my surgery, because that was going to be the last cigarette I was going to have for 3 weeks, and gosh darn it, I was going to enjoy it. And it turned out not really to be an issue, because in the beginning, the first 4 days, you are pretty drugged up. You have one of those little self-medicating machines, and so, you know, every time the time is up, you don't have to wait for them to process it. You give yourself a shot.
Right.
And so I didn't really have the time or the energy to worry about whether or not I was smoking, not smoking, or even having the smallest amount of a craving.
Right.
Would it have been nice for me? Probably. But I made sure that when they told us what clothes to bring, what kind of physical therapy we would be doing, you know, I didn't bring some flowy peasant skirt that was going to get in the way. And then I was going to have to fight with that as well as fighting with my own body, trying to deal with the things that came. So I did a lot of pre-production, and I do apologize for that beeping. Somebody needs a nurse.
That's
so
okay.
It beeps everywhere on the floor. So that was one of the biggest things I did that I think helped make my situation as calm as it was. I then got a call on Tuesday night, and the call said, be at the hospital at 9 a.m., ready to go. The only thing you need is your toiletries. You don't need any of your clothes or anything for your elongated stay, because you're going to be moving anyway. So have your family members bring them for you, like, on day two. And I went in for my surgery, and my poor husband, who I love to death, the only thing he is not the king of is hospitals. And when they said, so are you going to come back and wait with her? The look on his face was so terrifying that I said, no, he's going to go home. Because I was afraid they were going to have two patients. Well, of course, you know Yanira, and when my friend Yanira found out that my husband went home, she basically teleported to the hospital. She was there so fast. I think she was sitting in the parking lot waiting, personally. And she stayed with me, and we joked around. Because you know how I am. You know, in a stressful situation, you joke, whatever. And we joked around, and I put a note on my leg telling my surgeon how much I loved him, hoping that that would maybe help him be a little nice to me. And
there's a lesson for all of you people listening out there.
Yes.
When about to go into surgery, write on your body with a Sharpie. Because
that's
that
right.
That will influence your doctor to be a better doctor while he's cutting into you.
Yes, exactly.
Love you.
The thing is, he came in and he puts his signature. He says, the nurse comes in and says, which leg? I say the left. So she gets the left ready. And then the other anesthesiologist comes in and he says, what joint? I say left knee. And then somebody else comes in and I go left knee. And it turns out that every single person that's going to be in the room asks me what joint it is. And then he comes in last and he says, right knee? And I go, no, left knee. And he goes, good answer. And he puts his signature on the leg. Now, I knew he was going to do that because I had asked 4,000 questions. So as I moved my gown up so that he could sign the leg, here pops out this I heart Dr. Wong. Well, he got the cutest look on his face. And he goes, I never had that before. It's like, that's because you're cranky and nobody likes you but me.
I thought you were just going to say it's because you didn't have any undies on.
No, I don't get fresh with him. I don't get fresh with him because he's a very serious surgeon. And he can take a little bit of my joking, but there's a line that I don't cross with him because I know how he is after 3 years. But then they wheeled me away and they brought me in the operating room, and this is weird. Usually, you know, they wheel you away and they drag you into the operating room and they're talking to you and the surgeon comes in and goes, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. No, that's the anesthesiologist who was a hysterical hoot, too. He turns around and goes, okay, just breathe this oxygen for me. We just want to get you all oxygenated. And next thing you know, I'm awake and like, oh, my God. It was all over. It was, I have to say, I felt like my leg was your old leg when I first met you, mm-hmm. plus my leg at its possible worst size,
mm.
all put together was that
yeah.
leg. It was wrapped up in so much gauze and so many bandages and so many whatever. And unfortunately, here's where the story gets yucky, because I have really adverse reaction to anesthesia,
mm-hmm.
and I throw up a lot.
No.
And when I throw up or cough real hard, you know, being a 53-year-old woman with two children, stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up, you know, like dribbling on the bed, and then I'm throwing up in the bucket, and then I'm getting depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say the first 24 were depressing.
Yeah. That's always
it was depressing. And they were so nice. But
mm-hmm.
I felt like, you know, they're just being nice because they have to be. Really, they're in the back room talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
Being crazy.
You're so insecure. I love you.
Because I'm so insecure that I know that they're walking down the hall past the other rooms going, yeah, that chick in 7A, man, what a pain in the ass. Oh, sorry. Okay,
you've been friends with your nurse friend there for too long.
Yeah, that's probably true, too. So Terry wants to know about the procedure itself. It's a far less crazy than it used to be. I mean, they used to slice your leg open vertically, pretty much remove your knee,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, bang a new knee in on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
They technically don't really do that anymore. What they basically have is a piece of, I don't know if it's titanium, silver. I have absolutely no idea what metal it is because I didn't bother to ask. You know, but you'd think the things that were important, like what's going to be in your body, would be the questions I asked. No.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what kind of exercise I was going to have to do. They take your upper joint, your thigh bone joint, and they make it like almost like a dovetail to fit this silver top of the bone, is basically because you've been deteriorating your bone through the osteo for so long that it's no longer shaped like the end of the bone. So they create a little dovetail joint in the center where the bone would normally, you know, if you think of a dog bone, it goes around and in and then back out and around.
Mm-hmm.
The metal piece clamps on there, and then they take the bone from your shin, which I don't know if it's the tibia, the fibula, or where they both meet, but it's that bone, and they shave it down a little bit, and they add a piece of metal there and a piece of silicone, which becomes the meniscus,
mm-hmm.
and then they put it all back together, readjust your kneecap to fit, and thank you, Niv, it is titanium. And then they adjust your kneecap, that's originally your kneecap, to fit over the whole thing. One thing I will tell people that no one told me is that my ankle hurts.
Yeah.
And the back of my knee hurts. I was expecting all this frontal pain. I was expecting all this knee area pain.
Mm-hmm.
And my ankle hurts. And so I said something to the physical therapist, because I really started my physical therapy in earnest yesterday. And I said to her, why do I have such a pain in my ankle? And she says, well, basically when they lift up your shin bone and they pound the screws in with the hammer, they're pretty much, you know, like kind of just pile driving your shin bone into your ankle. And so it gets a little,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, thanks. It's awesome. So, but yeah, that's basically the surgery. And then they sew you back up and they want to staple you up. Anybody who's friends with me on Facebook, you can find the picture. Anyone who wants to see the picture of my staples can
mm-hmm.
see them on the Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health Facebook page, because I posted pictures there too. but basically it looks like a pork that's been stuffed and is ready for the luau.
Aww.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a big ham. It's pretty funny. So that's basically the procedure. I mean, if there was floating cartilage, if there was some scar tissue built up due to the osteo, I'm sure he probably removed that. I didn't ask. He didn't tell me. And then basically the first day they did not bother me at all, and I was really surprised because I thought they were going to make me get out of bed the first day.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was so nauseous,
mm-hmm.
I was really, really nauseous. They didn't want to move me. They were giving me like Zofran every 4 hours, I think it's called. And but finally I said to, you know, I was so depressed. The poor staff is trying to keep me happy because I'm like, I'm an idiot. You know, I was and I mean, you can attest to it. You've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I'm such a loser. I'm peeing myself. I finally said, you know, I think what might be helpful is if we could just get the physical therapist in here to allow me to swivel from the bed onto one of those potty seats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if everybody in the world sees me pee in my room.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't be in the bed, and you won't have to make it, and I won't feel like a loser. Because
right.
as we've talked about feelings before, it doesn't matter if they tell you, sweetie, we love you, it's our job, it's fine. You're going to feel like you're pathetic,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to affect you. And
yeah.
I was crying, and I was throwing up, and they got the throwing up under control. They finally let me swivel onto the potty seat, and you would have thought it was a different person who had surgery. People
mm-hmm.
who didn't work on Thursday and saw me on Friday were like, oh, my God, you're a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically the journey begins. I was there Friday and Saturday on the fourth floor, and then they wheeled me downstairs, and Saturday. Sunday they don't have physical therapy, so basically the nurses just got me up and walked me to the bathroom because you're literally not allowed to do anything by yourself until you're released by
mm-hmm.
a doctor or a therapist.
Yep.
And the wristbands are indicative of our old Beltane wristbands
mm-hmm.
because you've got red wristbands for people who aren't allowed to get up at all.
Right.
Then you've got yellow wristbands, which are high risk for falling, so I have
mm-hmm.
a yellow one. But just this morning, I was released for, I think they call it semi-independency, which
mm-hmm.
means I'm allowed to go to the bathroom, and I'm allowed to saunter myself out to the nurse's station, or I can come to the lounge with my family if I want to. So I'm not stuck in the room 24/7, because
mm-hmm.
they really strongly believe that your emotional well-being is as important as your physical healing. And if you're stuck
mm-hmm.
in a room feeling like a sick person, you're not going to get better fast.
Right.
You know, but that pretty much brings us to the present, because at this point now I've just been doing therapy. The first day I thought, yeah, I'm going to be here for 6 months. And then all of a sudden you go in there the next morning and they do the same exercise and you're already 2 degrees farther than you were the day before. And on another test, I've already reached the goal for... This is funny. You sit in a chair, like a dining room table, Thanksgiving chair,
mm-hmm.
and you take your foot and you put it flat on the floor, and then you slide it back as if you were putting it underneath the table so it got out of the way of the dog that's sitting in front of you at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can already do that at 92 degrees.
Cool.
90 is the goal.
Awesome.
Now, here's my problem. The next goal is taking that same standard position and bringing your foot straight up frontwards so that your leg forms a 180. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
straight out. And I can't do that, and I'm having a real problem with that, which, of course, led me to another blubbering breakdown today.
Aww.
But, you know, she told me flat out, she goes, you know, you're taking Roxy, and Roxy is like a fast-acting version of Percocet, and
mm-hmm.
people get emotional. It's
yes,
just like anything else. You're going to get emotional. You're going to feel the highs and lows. Like, I was so high this morning that I got independent.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was so completely depressed when I couldn't kick my leg up like, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Broadway baby that I think I am.
Yeah.
So, listen, this is, they're going to pitch her booty out pretty quickly. My expected, at this point, as of yesterday, my expected release date was the 8th. That puts me in here for under the 10-day minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But the nurse also said to me that, yeah, that's what they put. And then your doctor goes, oh, heck no.
Mm-hmm.
And your physical therapist goes, what, are they crazy? And then you get a new piece of paper.
Right.
So don't panic on that until somebody actually comes in and says, are you okay with this? Then you got to worry about it.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. And, you know, I joke around that I want my 2 full weeks of vacation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, I can do a lot of the tail end stuff, because I know what the tail end stuff is for some of the stuff. And yes, I can do that at home. I can do that in outpatient therapy at my rehab place. But I wouldn't trust myself if I could not lift my leg up. I have to tuck my right leg under my left leg to lift the left leg onto the bed.
Yeah.
if that makes any, if you can mm-hmm. envision that. And it's
my
it's
advice
scary.
Is stay in as long as you can.
Yeah, well, that's my plan. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, because I think there's one or two people that are listening tonight, and I have to say that I am amazingly surprised at the genuine caring that the people in this hospital have. I was in this hospital twice before, and they were nice, and I had a fine experience, but I have to say that the members of the TCU team, which is the transitional care unit, which is where I'm at now, mm-hmm. and the medical surgical team upstairs, they put up with so much, and they are always smiling, and they are always so nice. Mm. And I'm going to be getting a letter at the end of my stay,
right.
and I am keeping track of everybody's names. I am taking right. names, because these people are going to get every possible gold star they can get for me.
Cool.
They go well out of the way. I mean, just for tonight, okay, for the show, Mary, who is my nurse's aide tonight on the floor, I had said to her when she came in, listen, I have this radio show that I do, and if I do it in my room, I'm going to have to whisper on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't want to do that to my girlfriend, who's my partner, or the viewers. Can I go sit in like an empty room? Or she goes, oh, you can sit in the lounge. Well, the lounge gets locked up at 9 o'clock. They opened it up for me. They mm-hmm. gave me a special bell so that I can call them.
Nice.
They brought me in soda and ice, a bag of chips. They carried my stuff for me. I mean, yes, you know what? You could say it's their job, but it's their job to take care of me in my room. It's not their job to spread their patients out all over the place so that she has to run an extra, you know, half round to the hospital floor just to make sure I'm okay sitting here in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're just, they're so sweet. And now, so now for one of my nurses, I'm on a hunt for how much it costs to do you know, like cremation jewelry, like memorial jewelry. So
mm-hmm.
I'm working the internet for her while she's doing her work, and she comes in and checks how I'm making out. And then for somebody else, I'm looking for something else on the internet. And then when they have trivia questions about who starred in what movie, they come in, I look it up for them.
Well, yeah,
so,
you don't need to look up a lot of that stuff. You've got a lot of that in the vault, in the head.
Well, that's true, too. But you know what? I feel like I'm doing something for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they have kind of realized, okay, wait, this is her MO. If
mm-hmm.
she doesn't get to do something nice for us, then she's taking advantage of us. We have to find shit for her to do. So, you know, I can't say enough. You know, there was a time, you know, you've lived here when
mm-hmm.
coming to this particular hospital in this particular area
was not,
you wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd change doctors before you'd get caught here. And I want to say they partnered up with Meridian Healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a big name in the healthcare
mm-hmm.
industry, I'm hearing, but it's a new place to be, and it is phenomenal. I mean, they call my family to let me know how I'm doing. Granted, I put that down on the paper. I released that information. But
mm-hmm.
they're helping me. It turns out my poor friend, her husband, is getting admitted downstairs. So, now she can kill two birds with one stone when she visits. but... You know,
what's he getting admitted for?
He suffers from Guillain-Barré. It's the female version of Epstein, the male version of Epstein-Barr.
Oh, yeah.
Guillain-Barré,
mm-hmm.
something like that, Guillain-Barré. And he's got a few symptoms. And it was about 5 years ago, he was hospitalized and it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a few symptoms. They don't like some of his numbers. So they want to put him in, de-stress him, and make sure that everything's okay. Because from what I gather,
mm-hmm.
it's a very stress-triggered thing.
Hmm.
I don't know enough.
Hmm.
But so she has that to deal with, which is good. But the other thing I will say is once they take you off that pump, you're not so drugged up anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because then it becomes, you know, you have to start keeping track. I mean, they'll be glad to tell you when you can't have it.
Yep.
But if you want to know when you're allowed to have your medication and you want to make sure you're right, and you have to remember to give them 15 minutes because it's going to take them 15 minutes to put in the order, go
mm-hmm.
down to the little vaulty thing and get it. So when we come back from break, because it's getting close, I have some some key things that I was told that I've been following through, and I think they are making my life really simple.
Good.
And really easy. Did you have any questions on that first half before we...
No, I think I'm good. I just want to say thank you for all the nurses there and taking such good care of you, my buddy.
Oh, my God, they are. They are. And what's really the funniest thing, and you can appreciate this because you're my friend, I'm walking in, my phone is blowing up, and I'm wheeling in, and my phone is blowing up, and I pick up the phone, and the transport guy's looking over my shoulder, and he goes, oh, my God, that's so cute. Who are those girls in tutus with bows in their hair? And I said, oh, that's my daughter. She's in Disney for her birthday. She left on Monday, and she's coming back next Monday. So she hasn't been able to be here, so she's been sending me pictures. And this face comes in front of me and goes, oh, my God, are you Sammy's mom? We love Sammy. It turns out that being here in, you know, Stafford, it's only a quick jump, and a lot of people live in Tuckerton, and they all go to her Dunkin' Donut.
Oh, gosh, that's funny.
So they're all like, oh, my God, we know her. When is she coming back? I'm like, she'll be here tomorrow. Oh, my God, we can't wait. I'm working. I'm going to come in and see her. They're just like, I think maybe, and who knows, maybe that's why they're being so nice to me, because they know my daughter.
Could be. They know that she controls the donuts.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so if I think we're ready, I will put this forth. We're going to try tonight for Serpentine Seduction from the Dragon Ritual Drummers.
Okay, we'll see if it'll play.
All right.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
And we're back. if you're just joining us this evening, we are here. This is Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health, and I'm Robin, and I'm here with Lisa. And
Hello.
Lisa just had knee surgery this past week, knee replacement surgery, and just wanted to let you know, I am so proud of you. Terry is so proud of you to have gone through all this, and I just am thrilled at how well you're doing, and I know he is too.
Thank you.
He's just sent me a private message on the chat. Tell her again how proud we are. We both are of her. So,
no, I know. I mean, everybody is. My mom is.
Yep.
My kids are. My husband is. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things like quitting smoking, like dieting, like starting an exercise program. You have to be ready to do it. And whether it's a matter of, for me, it was getting the right information,
mm-hmm.
getting the answers to my questions so I felt secure and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband asked me to go on a trip with him that we haven't done since before we had children, and I really wanted to go. And the words that came out of his mouth were, honey, we're going, and I don't care if I have to push you around in a wheelchair. And I thought to myself, I don't want to be pushed around in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided, you know what, it's time to do something. You know, and if I'm no better off than where I am because it's only 8 weeks away,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. But at least I'm on the road.
Yeah.
What I mean? And if I have to rent a wheelchair for two of the days because I did too much on two of the days,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that because I got 2 days. But a couple mm-hmm. of things that I really wanted to point out that are super, super important that were told to me, anyone who's having surgery should do this. If your surgery includes physical therapy
mm-hmm.
of any kind, I don't care if you just have to move your fingers around because you had a ganglion cyst on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you take your pain meds and you work it out with your nurses that are taking care of you. You get your pain meds 1/2 an hour before you leave for physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know too many surgery situations where if you're taking medication, you're not also allotted a lower strength, what they call a breakthrough,
mm-hmm.
a breakthrough medication. So I'm taking the Roxy's as my main 4-hour drug
mm-hmm.
of choice. And then if I'm 3 hours into my 4 hours and that pain comes back with more than a 2, because that's how you rate your pain, from 0, which is no pain, to 10, which is the worst pain you've ever felt.
Mm-hmm.
So what you then do is if your pain is above a 2, maybe if it's a 2, because if you're a 2, maybe the 2 is too much for you, because 2 is too much for me, because my 2 is probably your 5. You know, and it's all very relative. Be honest.
Right.
Then I can take, like, a Tylenol 3, a Tylenol with codeine.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that's enough to just kick in the last little bit of the Roxy for me.
Right.
Don't cheat yourself out of your pain meds. Don't try to be brave. Because when the pain comes back, it's going to come back full force, because it doesn't care how brave you are.
This
and if
true.
You wait until you're at a 5 and they have to go order it and it's dinner time and they're trying to hand out trays and they're trying to get the new influx of patient or the people that are being discharged, and you have to wait another hour for your medication, you are going to be in such pain. And again, mm-hmm. your physical well-being has to be matched by your mental well-being. And you're not going to be mentally okay if every time you ask for pain meds, you feel like they don't answer you.
Yeah. So yeah, there's always that time in the hospital where they change, where it's shift change, and they're giving a report, and they really can't do anything, or
yes.
you know, unless it's an emergency. You know, there's that good half hour, 40 minutes where they're doing that.
And I notice here in TC, they like the aides change up at 3, but the nurses don't change up till 5.
Mm-hmm.
This way, you don't have the same, you don't have everybody busy.
Right.
You know, but I notice there are people coming back from physical therapy. Well, when you just get back from physical therapy and you're allotted a breakthrough drug, you want it. And I can tell you that you want it. I won't
mm-hmm.
lie to you. Also, if they tell you to wait for them to do something, wait for them, because they know what's going to happen if you try to do it and you're not completely ready, because I did that. I thought
mm-hmm.
to myself, I can get back to my bed before they can even get in this room. And when I was stuck with the dilemma, and I'm going to be blunt here, when I was stuck with the dilemma of standing up, trying to pull up my pants, and still hold on to my walker, and not fall down, I realized, no, you wait for them to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you let them help you. And for God's and goddess's sake, don't be proud. They don't care if they see your butt. They don't care if your foot's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
It took 4 days for them to clear my orange tan off my left leg. And you know what? Nobody cared.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody had time, it was the first thing on their list, which means they'd been already thinking about it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because in comes this woman who goes, I got 20 minutes. I want to clean that tan off your leg because you don't look like you belong to Jersey Shore. So, you know, it's and they'll tell you this. Believe them. Take the pain meds. And by all that's holy, if they offer you any sort of laxative or fiber source or anything like that, please believe them.
Right.
I mean, you know, you think you can do it all yourself and you know better. Well, let me tell you something. I played the you know better game. And so for 3 days I was miserable. And then I said, all right, I'll play your game. And guess what? This is how it is when you play their game.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
5 days after surgery and I'm able to sit here for an hour and have, I think, a pretty clear conversation with my friend
mm-hmm.
about a big thing that happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, could I fall asleep? Absolutely. If I take that Roxy, if I take that Percocet, if I take the pill for breakthrough, which I could take right now, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. But, you know, it's 11 o'clock and I had surgery. So
mm-hmm.
I'm allowed.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of the things that people learn, and you kind of touched on this earlier with me today about, you go through surgery and you suddenly realize you have to be a little bit selfish sometimes. You
yeah,
have
you
to say, I right now, in this moment, I have to come first before other
yeah.
stuff because my healing
yeah.
is integral to everything else in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing's going to work
mm-hmm.
at home unless I'm healed and up and running again. So,
and what is all this for if you're going to come home just as bad off as you were when you left?
And be miserable, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. It's true. There was a situation with some paperwork that had to be handled, and I'm here. And I can make myself crazy, or I can
mm-hmm.
say, you need to step up and put on the big boy pants that you own,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you need to take care of this because you're a grown person,
mm-hmm.
because I need to worry about me right now.
Right.
And, you know, and my husband's been phenomenal because his job ended up changing, which could have affected Sammy getting a ride home from Disney, which was one of those things that was, you know, was screwing
mm-hmm.
with my head.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He didn't even tell me when the problem happened. He told me when he fixed it.
Awesome.
You know, and so it was. I thought about me today. I thought about me, and I did what I needed to do for me. And when, you know, when people will call you, all right, and they want to stop by, and they want to know what you want them to bring, and they want to know if you want something special, and they want to know, yes, they want to help you, and they want to feel
mm-hmm.
like they're helping you. And you
mm-hmm.
know what? Make something up.
Mm-hmm.
I told my mother to bring me a couple of bottles of Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
I can take them home with me.
Yeah.
I put them in a drawer. Am I having one tonight? Yes, I am, and it's very nice to have it. But, you know what I mean, it's easier to let people help you than it is to fight with people and say, no, 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 no. And if you're too tired for company, you tell them, my mother wants to come every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Mom, I don't know how I'm going to be. I don't know what it's going to be like when my therapy starts. I don't know what it's going to be like when I come out of, I could just want to lay. And the first day, I laid on the bed, and I looked at the nurse, and I said, I'm just going to lay here in my post-therapy coma. And she laughed. And she said, okay, buzz me when you need me. And she walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody deals with it. Some of the people come back from therapy, and they're ready to go meet up and play a game of, you know, whatever in the lounge, and they want to talk to everybody. And then people come back like me, and they just want to lay there and think their pain away.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I look at the – they give you the schedule in the morning. They tell you when you're going to have physical therapy. And then what you do is you decide, am I going to have the strength to see somebody? Am I going to get a shower in? Am I going to feel gross and not want somebody to see me? Because let me tell you something. If we did video and they asked me, do you want us to do something, you know, because – do you have video? Is this a video thing? And I'm like, oh, heck no. My hair wouldn't be looking like this if it was a video thing. My sweet nieces, the sweet girls that they were, came last night, and they brought all their Mandela coloring books and all their colored pencils, and we sat on these little rolly tables, and we colored Mandelas. And the nurse were coming in. They were laughing.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about their mom and my past and what they think about the millennials, you know, the kids these days in their early 20s. And, you know, we just – it was lovely. It was about an hour, and my roommate, who is a pistol – I'm going to have stories about her for years to come. She just loved them. She was over there laughing to herself. We were trying to get her in the conversation. But that leads me to one other thing I want to say. My roommate injured herself rolling over in bed. She fractured her hip. And when she got up to get out of bed because she was in pain and she was going to take some aspirin, she collapsed on the floor.
Yeah.
She was there for 2 days. Until someone finally realized she hadn't been calling or been around because she couldn't move.
Right.
If you have elderly neighbors, if you have elderly family who lives alone, and they don't answer the phone even for 1 day, please make sure somebody has a key to their house. Make sure somebody checks on him. She was just fortunate that her friend was returning something to her.
Yeah.
And basically they had to break down the door to get to her. So I really, really believe that it's an important thing. Reach out to your family members who are alone and make sure that their next-door neighbor has a key.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that when they see you, like, banging your hand on the glass sliding door, they can get into your house or they're going to break down the door. So she's doing well now, and she's, you know, she's feeling pretty brave and feisty about it. But, you know, it really made me think.
Yeah.
You know, I actually told my husband, Ron, I said, you know, the kids don't have to move out. They can stay, because if I fall and I can't get up, I know someone will come home eventually. But, yeah, our room is a funny room. I taught Helen all about coloring, so she now knows when we're talking on the phone and we're referring to coloring, she just chuckles in the corner. Yeah. Yes, life alert, Terry. Actually, we did have a discussion with that, and one of her lady friends came, and let me tell you something. 75-year-old women are a hoot and a holler.
Oh, well, sure. They don't give a crap about anything anymore. Nobody can do anything to them.
Oh, my God. They are the best. I am having the best time. The girls in rehab are like, why can't you be on our end of the hall? Why are you all the way down at 7?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an experience. It's been really fun. And I'm glad I did it. It hurts. It hurts excruciating. It hurts to the point where you're sweating and shaking and you feel like you're going to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's what you're waiting for. You're waiting for that moment when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been sitting in a straight back chair with my feet on the floor for 46 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
3 days ago, I could not do this.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to take long. Mm-hmm. But when the doctor says, touch the floor with your big toe, touch the floor with your little toe, touch the floor with your middle toe. It may seem like the stupidest, idiotic thing. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you're a, you know, what was it, kinesiology or physiology doctor,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what tapping your toe is going to do on the floor for the whole rest of your anatomy.
Right.
And I just do whatever they tell me. They want me to take a band and put it over my eyes and squeeze my eyes shut, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just want it to be better, and I want it to be better good, and I want it to be better big, and I want the next time that I see all of you, I want to be able to be helping you put up your tent.
Aww.
You know what I mean? That's what I want. I want to be able to go camping again. I want to be able to come to your mountain and see more than just the rope that goes up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I want to go to the beach where I live and be able to walk down the sand and actually go to the beach.
Yeah.
And I'm almost halfway there. So I'm a third of the halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
That's awesome, Lou.
So come on, anybody have any questions out there? I see all you people in the chat room. You probably all already know all this stuff, and I was the baby who didn't know anything. Well, it's true. I mean, you know, I know Niv's had surgeries, I'm sure. She told me Otto's had surgeries. You've had surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy's had surgeries. I'm sure Terry's had a surgery somewhere. So it looks like we already knew. Yeah. Oh, rotator cuff? Yeah, there's a couple of... It's funny. I, for some reason, thought everyone was going to be a knee surgery person.
Mm-hmm.
No. There's hip replacements. There's fractured hips. There's... Oh, one woman did both her knees. I'm like,
wow.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. No, a lot of people do that.
Oh, but she's doing really well. There's another knee person with me who's having a little bit of a rough time. There's a woman who had something wrong with her thigh bone.
Mm-hmm.
That she had something done with her thigh bone. And then there's rotator cuffs and there's... other socket things and elbow things and wrist things. And but there's only 20 people on the whole floor at any one time. So that's kind of nice because you're not overwhelmed at any given time.
Yeah.
And the guys are quiet and the women are like a bunch of chickens in the in the room. It's true. We're in the room and we're like, and the guys just it there. And the one guy, I think his name is Bob, I said, I'm really sorry you had to listen to me cackling the other day with Naomi. And he goes, I thought it was a very interesting conversation. And I said, oh, okay. Because, you see, when they get my file and they're putting my information in the computer, they always get to religious beliefs.
Yeah.
And that, of course, leads to, oh, what's Wiccan?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, somebody in the room has to tell everybody what Wiccan is.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, who's Wiccan? And then I go, that'd be me. And I'm like, oh, that's like witchcraft, right? And then, of course, you get the one guy in the room who goes, are you Glinda or are you the evil witch? I said, am I green?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, good point. You know, so then, of course, you get the people who are genuinely interested and they start asking you all the details and they start asking you about, you know, what does it mean and what is it and what is the difference between pagan? They offered my mom Sajiba at once, but that was a few. Oh, okay.
I'm laughing at Niv wanting to know how come you're not running craft classes at the nurse's station.
Yeah, I chose to ignore that. I chose to ignore that because I was doing macrame in the therapy room, so just shushing it, all right? I didn't get there yet. What was really cute, though, was that afternoon after my therapy was over, the one therapist comes in and she's got, they give you these little bags that hang off your walkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can put your cell phone in and stuff. And she comes walking down to my room and she goes, I noticed you didn't have a thing for your stuff and I thought this one would be perfect for you. And it's pumpkins and smiling black cats.
Aw.
I was like, aw, you're so cute. But they were funny. They were like, well, what is pagans versus Wiccans? And just to be easy, because most of the time it's what I try to do, I go, you know how a Protestant could be Methodist or Episcopalian or Lutheran or Protestant?
Mm-hmm.
Or I said, well, pagans can be Druids or Shamans or Wiccans or any one of another group of polytheistic people. Mm-hmm. And it can be a biker gang. And they go, really? And they go, well, yeah. In the 60s, there was like a biker gang named the Pagans, and I think they're still around, but they don't have anything to do with the religious thing. Oh, mm-hmm. And they're like so serious, and I'm trying to make jokes, and the only person to get them is you. You're not in the room. So, you know, it tends to get funny, but yeah, you know, and then the next time they see you, they got two new questions from mm-hmm. what they asked you before, because now suddenly they've gone home and hit the internet.
Yeah.
And, but it's just, it's fun. It's that part is fun for me, and that's the part that's keeping me really, really sane. Oh, look, she's going to be back to run the craft day on the osteo floor. You smarty, guess what I'm planning on doing? I'm planning on learning American Sign Language so that I can come and volunteer at the hospital, because they are in short list of people who know sign language. And I think some young kid who knows sign language would absolutely love it if an aide would come in and sign with them. So that's going to be my new goal. No crafts on the osteo floor.
And you can teach them how to do crafts.
Oh, you know what?
Hot glue gun. How do you sign that?
How do you sign hot glue? Ow. Ow. It's like a big open mouth and you pull your hand away. Ow.
Oh, God.
But, yeah. So, I mean, that's basically it. Now I'm going to go and lay like broccoli, take some pain meds, and maybe watch some TV and go back to physical therapy at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Well, that's good. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yep, and Sammy's home, so she's going to come see me, and all I wanted was egg rolls.
Aww.
The food is, I'll tell you, find out what you really like to eat and have your friends bring it, because I will say this, food is not really beautiful at all.
Yeah, well, that's
it's hospital
true.
Food.
You know. That's just
there was a couple of things. There was some lasagna the other night that I thought, wow, this must be Stouffer's. We do have some business. I'll get the business out of the way for you before I say goodnight.
That's awesome.
Of course, you can reach us on Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. And if you have any questions about my surgery, or if you yourself know anybody who, you know, is thinking about doing it and would really like an honest perspective, I would be more than happy to talk to them. Just have them hook me up on the Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health Facebook page. Of course, you can write to the radio station and make sure that you put the show that you're interested or the person that you're interested in sending the message to by writing to cern.org@gmail.com. You can also find all of us at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook. And, of course, if you're looking to my fearless leader and her fearless leader, you can find them at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can email them at any time at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Find out where they're going to be. I'm sure their next season is starting to fill up, so if you want them to come and do anything for you at a festival that you're having and you want to talk dollars and cents and ideas with them, I'm sure that they would be happy to talk to you there.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's right. I'm speeding up. I'm flying through the promos. I'm going down. Mayday, mayday, mayday. I need a Roxy. No, but I am going to say goodnight just so that these poor nurses can get back to what they need to do for the day.
Okay, fair enough.
Because they kept this room open for me long enough, and I'll let you wrap it up and talk about me for 5 minutes.
Okay, that sounds good.
Big kisses to everybody who came out to listen to me. Flap the gums as usual. And don't forget, Robin, I told them all that we're just two girls from Flushing. It's no big deal. We just talk.
It's like butter. We
all right,
didn't
I love
talk.
You all.
Okay.
I love Terry. Hugs to everybody. And by next Monday, I will probably be home.
Awesome. All right. Well, you know I'm coming down to see you when you get home.
I might be in worse shape.
Whoops.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, code stroke. That's a bad one. All right.
That just
everybody.
Means you're actually really where you say you are. You're in the hospital.
See, I didn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Love you, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to my story.
Night,
and please, if you have any questions, no question is stupid, because I know I needed the questions answered myself. So ask them. I'll be glad to answer. You know me. I don't shut up.
Yep. Well, this is true.
All right. Kisses, everybody.
Love
you.
All right. Bye. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. I just want to say how happy I am that Lisa's had such a great surgery and recovery, and I'm so proud of her. I think everybody who knows Lee knows how big a step this was for her and how brave she was going into this, and just awesome to see her so happy. You know, literally 5 days ago she had surgery, and I'm just really happy. And it's actually not the drugs that were doing that to her. So that's just really who Lee is when she's happy. She just gets really talkative, and that's just a really good sign. And I'm ecstatic about it. And you know, it's always a big step to have surgery like this, because you never really know what you're getting into. And it's her first knee. She's probably going to have the other one done, maybe. I don't know at some point whether or not she will. But this is life-changing for her. This is going to make things so much easier to be able to, you know, do things and walk and go places again. She's been honestly toughing it out over the last few years. And it's been really hard sometimes to watch, because I know how much discomfort she's in when she's trying to do anything or go anywhere. And it's just really nice to be able to know that she's feeling better and going to continue to feel better and better as time goes by here. So I want to thank everybody for coming tonight and listening, and also the fact that you come every week. Niv, Otto, Marcy, awesome that you guys come by every week and support Lisa and I. I know there are tons of listeners out there who come every week and listen, even from foreign countries, Australia, Peru, you know, Saudi Arabia, you name it, we've got listeners from there. So I just want to say thank you to all of you, and if you ever have any questions or you need to get in touch with us, Lisa gave all the contact info. Don't be shy. We'd love to know that you're out there, even if you just write to us and say, hey, loved the show, or hey, hated the show, just so we know that you're out there and breathing and we actually are reaching people with our show. That would be great. All righty, I just want to say good night, and we will be back next Monday with bells on, apparently. All righty. Thank you, and as I always say, spread the love. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.